Chapter number 100, the book of Psalms, chapter number 100, and I want to give you the message that God has given to me, and I know we've got a big Thanksgiving lunch prepared over next door, and I don't want to distract your mind while I'm trying to preach, but I have been told there are at least three deep-fried turkeys over next door, and so if you've got nothing else to shout about, you shout about that, amen? And but we'll go over there in just a minute, but I do want to give you what God has given to us. And the Lord gave me this thought some time ago for this morning, and I want to give you what God has given to me. So if you want to stand with us, stretch your legs for just a minute, you can do that as we read Psalms chapter 100. It's a very short chapter, so we'll read the entirety of the chapter, the entire psalm, and then we'll give you three thoughts that God has given to us out of this short chapter, okay? Psalms chapter number 100 in verse number 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Lord, we are certainly grateful for the opportunity to be in church today. Lord, we're thankful for the good songs that we've heard sung and the thankfulness that we've felt in our heart. And God, it's been good to be in Your house so far, and I pray that You'd bless us now in the Word of God. Let us say something that would be a help to somebody. Let us encourage somebody in the Scriptures, we pray. And most of all, if there's one here today unsaved, I pray for them. What a good day to get saved. Today is, and I pray that today would be their day. We ask it in Christ's name, and amen. You can be seated. While all of the Psalms, or many of the Psalms, are full of praise and thankfulness, there's just something special about Psalms chapter number 100. This psalm is the climax, the climactic psalm to what we refer to as the royal psalms or the kingly psalms. Beginning in Psalms chapter number 93 and going through Psalms chapter number 100, we have the royal psalms. They begin in chapter 93 in verse 1 and say, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved." And for seven chapters, the psalmist writes about the majesty and the magnitude of God who is the King. And then when we come to Psalms 100, this is almost like the hallelujah chorus at the end of these royal psalms. This psalm, chapter 100, is what we refer to as a doxology. A doxology is a short hymn or a short psalm, a short song that can be sung about God's goodness. For example, Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3 is a doxology where the writer said, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You see, we can sing and we can shout because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 is a doxology. It says, "And from Christ Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the princes of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." You see, we can sing and rejoice this morning because God, Jehovah, has saved us and washed us in His own blood and made us kings and priests unto our God. I began to think about this doxology, this hallelujah chorus that is Psalms chapter 100. And there are three main themes of this chapter. They are the themes of joyfulness, submission, and thanksgiving. Joyfulness, submission, and thanksgiving. I find that interesting because the Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter number 5 that the fruits of being filled with the Holy Spirit are joyfulness, submission, and thanksgiving. The Bible tells me in the book of Colossians, I believe it is chapter number 1, that the fruit of being filled with the Word of God is joyfulness, submission, and thanksgiving. And can I say that you and I should be a joyful people? We should be a submissive people, and we should be a people of thanksgiving. You see, God is good. His reign is universal. He is good to His people, and He is sovereign in all things that He does. And you and I have the responsibility of worshiping Him this morning. I want to preach for a few minutes on this thought, thankfulness. Thankfulness. Let me give you 3 thoughts, and I'll give them to you as fast as I can, and we'll go have fellowship together. I want you to notice this out of chapter number 100. I want you to see the summons of thanksgiving. The summons of thanksgiving. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. This hymn begins with a summons to all lands to come and worship the Lord. When we consider this, we can understand rightfully how God could expect His people Israel to come and worship Him. You see, it was the people of Israel that He called out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. It was the people of Israel that He had blessed with spiritual blessings. It was the Israelites that He had let cross over the Red Sea and had provided them manna and quail in the wilderness. It was the Israelites that He had given a land flowing with milk and honey. It was the Israelites that He had given promises and covenants to. But it is not the Israelites only that He is asking for thanksgiving from in verse number 1. But it is all lands, the Bible says. You see, God is calling upon all people to come and worship Him. You see, the entire world owes God a praise of thanksgiving. You see, He is God, Creator. He is the one that deserves our praise, for He is the one that formed us and made us. And God is now calling and summoning all people everywhere to come and offer Him thanksgiving. You know what I see in these verses? I see that we are called upon to shout. We are called upon to shout. The Bible says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see, the summons of thanksgiving to make a joyful noise is the summons to come with a word of shout and a word of praise on our lips. You see, God is asking you and He is asking me to come into His presence with a shout on our mouth and praise on our lips. And that is the way that God expects for us to come into His presence. Now, I understand something. I understand that not all of us worship God the same. I get that. I understand that. But that does not diminish the fact that you are responsible to worship God in your own way. Amen. You are not excluded from verse number 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all, A-double-L all. That includes you and that includes me. Hey, we are responsible for coming into God's presence with a shout on our lips. I'm afraid that too often when we come into God's presence, we come into God's presence with a long face instead of a shout. Hey, do we not come to God and we want to talk about our problems and we want to talk about all the things that we don't have that we want, and we want to talk about how everybody else is out to get us and the whole world is out to get us and against us? But how often do we come into His presence with a shout on our lips and with praise in our voice and say, God, I'm not asking today, I'm just thanking today. And God, You've been mighty good to me. And God, I tell You about all my problems, but today I want to tell You about all the good things. God, you've blessed me, and God, you've provided for me, and God, you've taken care of me. Hey, when's the last time you worshiped him and praised him and was thankful unto him? He did not say, come with a frown on your face and your lip dragging the ground. But he said, come with a joyful noise in your soul and a shout on your lips. Hey, he's calling. He is summoning us to a place of shouting and praising this morning. Hey, I'm talking about coming into his presence with a shout. Can I say something right here? Will y'all allow me to say something? I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm going to say something. The church house is not to be a dead house. Amen? Amen. That's what funeral homes are for. Amen. That's where you find dead people, at funeral homes, not at church. Amen? You and I, when we come into this church house, when we come into this building, we ought to come with a shout on our lips. Amen? But I want you to notice something with me. Look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You see that in verse number 4? Is that not what it says? I want you to notice something. Now, verse 4, the praise has made its way to the sanctuary. It has entered the sanctuary. But notice something now. The praise did, it has entered the sanctuary, but the praise did not begin in the sanctuary. Do you see that? Hey, we've got a joyful noise on our lips in verse 1. I went to Carn, so y'all help me out, but I'm pretty sure 4 comes for 1, or 1 comes for, see, I told you I went to Carn. 1 comes before 4. Why am I looking at you? You went to Carnes too. You don't know any different. Hey, I'm telling you, 1 still comes before 4, does it not? Hey, in verse number 1, we're to have a joyful noise on our lips. We are to be worshiping him in verse number 1. And the shout does not begin in the sanctuary, but the shout is brought to the sanctuary in verse number 4. You know why we have dead services? When we have dead services, it's because nobody's been shouting at home. Nobody's been spending time at home. Nobody's been worshiping at home. Because if you're shouting at home and worshiping at home, when it gets to the house of God, it just spills over what's been taking place all week long, and you can't help but shout, and you can't help but rejoice because you've been with him all week long. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, we ought to have a shout. We are called upon. We are summoned upon now. We can shout. You say, why can I shout? Verse 4 tells me, I can shout because God is good. I can shout because of the mercy of the Lord. I can shout because of the faithfulness of the Lord. Hey, I'm saying we ought to be a shouting people this morning. Amen. Amen. We ought to shout. We've been called, summoned upon to be thankful. We are called to shout, but watch this now. Not only are we called to shout, but we are called to serve. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You see, a shouting heart and a serving heart go hand in hand. You see, a thankful heart is a serving heart. When a man or a woman becomes thankful in their lives, they will have no problem being a serving individual. Amen? You say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me help you out with it. That man or that woman that is thankful for their job will be a better employee. Amen? That person that hates their job, they hate every minute of it, they usually don't get as much work accomplished as that person that is thankful they've got a job. Amen? There's people on the streets down here close to our church that would love to have a job and live in a home, be wearing the clothes that you're wearing, eating the food that you're about to eat, but God has let you do it. God has blessed you with it. You say, well, I go to work every day. Bless God. I'm the one that, hey, you ought to be thankful God gave you that job. God gave you the ability to work that job. Hey, there are people that are laid off this morning and they don't have work. I don't know why I'm preaching on work today, but work's all right. Amen. I'm not against work. I'm against anybody that's against work. Amen. If you're against work, I'm against you. The Bible says if a man doesn't eat, if he doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Amen. He's worse than an infidel. Y'all tie a rock around his neck, throw him in the ocean. That's what the Bible says. Amen. I'm talking about a thankful employee is a good employee. Amen. Looky here. A person that is thankful for their spouse will work in that marriage to keep it good. Amen. You say, my marriage ain't what it used to be. When'd you stop being thankful for your spouse? Amen. That's exactly right, neighbor. Don't close me down now. I'm preaching now. Hey, I'm telling you, you say it just ain't what it used to be around our house. When'd you stop being thankful for your spouse? Because if you're still thankful for your spouse, you'll have no problem keeping it fresh around your house. Amen? That's exactly right, friend. Hey, the child, watch me now, you young people. You look up here at the preacher. Look up here. A thankful child that is thankful for their parents and thankful for their home, they will have no problem being obedient to mom and dad inside the house. Amen? A disobedient child is an unthankful child. Amen? And if you got a problem with disobedience, young person, you have a problem with an unthankful heart. Amen? That's exactly right. Hey, and I tell you what, in like manner, the person that is thankful that God has saved them, God has been good to them, will be a working Christian. You won't have to ask them. You won't have to beg them. They just won't be able to help it. They're going to be thankful. You see, service now comes with the shout. We can't come in here and just shout and not be backing it up with some service. Those two things go hand in hand. Would you allow me to say this? There's a difference between being happy, being thankful. You believe that? There's a difference between being glad and being thankful. There's a difference. So what's the difference? Let me show you. The Bible says, I can't remember, was it the book of Luke maybe? There was those 10 lepers. Those 10 lepers cried out. They wanted healing for their bodies. The Bible says that Jesus healed, cleansed all 10 of them. Cleansed all 10 of them. Boy, they was happy, wasn't they? They had been cleansed. They were happy. They were glad that Jesus had touched them. Amen. I submit to you that only one of them was thankful. Because only one of them came back and bowed at his feet and said, God, I'm thankful for what you've done in my life. And we've got some happy people, and that's wonderful. I'm glad you're happy. We got some glad people, and I'm glad that you're glad. But we need some thankful Christians in our church today. I see the summons for Thanksgiving. I want you to notice this, number two. I want you to see the source of Thanksgiving. The source of Thanksgiving. Look at it. It's in verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You see the call to the nations in verse 1 now is followed up by an explanation of why we should be making a joyful noise in that verse. We are to be thankful because, letter A, of who God is. We are to be thankful for who God is. You see, over the past 7 chapters, the psalmist has been praising God, the Lord, for who He is. He is royalty. He is King. He is God. He is the Lord, and we can praise Him for who He is. Notice that this verse describes the Lord. He describes Him now as the Creator. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. You see, you and I can worship and be thankful this morning because we serve a God who is great enough to be the Creator. You still believe that in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and created. You believe that, don't you? You can worship God because of that, because of who He is. He spoke and created in chapter 1 of Genesis. He breathed and gave life in chapter 2 of Genesis. He is a great God. He is our God, and we can worship Him for who He is. There are some people in our lands that do not testify. They do not submit to the fact that he is the creator. But according to this verse, in verse number 3, this is something that we know. Do you see it there? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. That is something that we know. That word know in verse number 3 means to know by experience. You know how I know that he is who he claims to be? Because I have experienced him. And my experiences testify that God is God, that God is the Lord, that God is King, and he is worthy to be praised because of who he is. Amen. He is good and he is God. Hey, watch this now. He's not only the creator, but the Bible says that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's not only our great creator, but he's our shepherd, is he not? Boy, that reminds me of John chapter number 10, when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. You remember that? He said, I'm not a hireling. A hireling runs and flees when danger comes. He said, but I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. I lay it down willfully. You say, well, he's talking about the sheep of Israel. Oh, he might have been, but he followed it up in a few verses and said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. They're going to hear my voice too, and I'm going to bring them in, and that's me, and that's you if we're saved this morning. We're some of them other sheep. Hey, I don't care what them Mormons say. Hey, that's me and that's you, and he's called us and he's saved us and he's brought us in and he's given his life for us. We've got something to shout about this morning because he saved us and we're his sheep. Hey, man, I like it, don't you? Hey, I'm talking about, you think about the shepherd that died for the sheep. The sheep always died for the shepherd, but this time the shepherd died for the sheep, and he crawled up Calvary, and he stretched out his arms between heaven and earth, and he willfully gave his life, and he willfully shed his blood, and he saved us, and he redeemed us, and he made us his very own. We've got something to rejoice in and shout about and be thankful for because of who God is. Amen. God didn't owe you salvation. God still does not owe you salvation. But in his goodness, he chose to give it to you. He said to Moses, I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. I'll be merciful to whom I'll have mercy. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't get. I can't understand the vastness of the sovereignty of God. But I'm glad God let me be born right here where he's let me born. Amen. Right here in the Bible Belt, where I could hear the gospel at a young age and I could be saved and I could have the freedom to walk into a sanctuary like this one and I could hold up my hand and I could lift up my voice. There are people on mission fields today that are sitting on their hands because they'd like to lift them. They would like to shout, but they cannot do so for the fear of their lives. But we've been given the blessings of God this morning. God's been good to us. I think we ought to be thankful, don't you? Hey, I'm thankful because of who God is. I'm thankful because of what God's done. Verse 5 says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Notice that not only can I be thankful for who God is, but I can be thankful for what God's done. I can rejoice when I consider who it is that I serve, but I can rejoice when I consider that my life has been blessed by all that he has done. Amen. The writer gives us three things the Lord has done for us. He begins by simply stating in verse number 5 that the Lord is good. I like that, don't you? He said, hey, why can you, if you ask, why should I be so thankful? I believe he'd answer something like this, because God is good. He is good. The Lord is good. How many of you all could say with me that God has been good to you? Amen. Hey, we can be, if we were honest, we would all testify that the Lord has been good to us. Hey, we could all say that lately we've been looking back along this winding road to some old familiar markers of the mercies that we have known. It may sound simple, but it's more than just a cliche. Hey, I'm telling you, there's no better way to tell you than to say that God's been good in my life. I've I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep at night. Hey, I'm telling you, God has been good to you and me. God's been good. We can rejoice this morning because God is good. Not only has God been good to us, but He tells us that His mercy now is everlasting. You think about that, the Lord has a limitless supply of mercy available for us today. I'm sure that when God saved me, it took a lot of mercy to save me. And if you'll be honest, it took a lot of mercy to save you. Hey, I know that since I've been saved over 20 years now, God's had to use a lot of mercy to keep me and get me to where I am today. And it's taken a lot of mercy for that. It's taken a lot of mercy to bring you along too. Amen. But you know, God had to use a lot of mercy when He saved us, and God had to use a lot of mercy to get us to where we are today. But He's never run out. He's never run short. He's got a vast supply. He's got a limitless supply. And if you need mercy, He's got plenty of it this morning. You say, you don't know what I've done, but I know who He is and I know what He's got. And He's got a vast supply of mercy available for you. It's like that meal barrel that Elijah went to that little widow woman's house, and she said, I got just enough for me. And he said, that'll be enough. And they ate on that little bit that was just enough for many, many days. And I'm saying He's got just enough mercy for you. But when you wake up tomorrow morning, you'll find He's got just enough mercy for you. And when you wake up the next morning, you'll discover there's just enough mercy left in the meal barrel for you one more time. And God has got a plenty of supply for you today. Hey, I can be thankful for who He is. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. Watch this now, His truth. His truth endureth to all generations. That phrase, endureth to all generations. His truth, that word truth literally translated in the Hebrew is the word amen that we say today. Some of y'all don't even know what you're meaning when you say amen, but that word amen means truth. It means you're saying truth. That's right. I agree with that. That's what amen said. It means I agree with that. You're speaking, you're singing the truth. Amen. It's the same word that talked about how they steadied or stayed the hands of Moses. Truth, it's steady. It's established. It's settled. Amen. It's the word that Abraham used when in Genesis 15:6, when the Bible says that God told him He's going to give him a son. And the Bible says Abraham believed. It's that same word, he knew. You know what Abraham did? He said, amen. God said, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, amen, God. He believed it. But you know what it means in verse number 5? It means that God is the amen. God is the truth. God is the established one. God is the faithful one. He is the one that is faithful today. And He is the one that will be faithful tomorrow, because His truth, His amen, lasts through all generations. The songwriter got it right when they said, I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. The faithful one. And He has been faithful today, and He will be faithful tomorrow, and He will remain faithful throughout eternity. I've got something to be thankful for this morning. If I could be so bold as to add to what the psalmist said, these three things, I would probably add Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, 5, and 6. We can sing praises for all that God has done. I would add 2 Corinthians 9:15. We can rejoice because the gift that is Jesus Christ. I would add Colossians 1:12, 13, and 14, where we can give thanks for salvation. I would add Psalm 68:19, where we can give thanks for His bountiful supply. I would add 1 Corinthians 2:9, where we can give thanks because there's something waiting for us on the other side. Hey, we can give thanks because of who God is, but we can give thanks for all that God has done. I see the summons of thanksgiving. I see the source of thanksgiving. And I'm out of here. I'm going to eat some deep fried turkey after this. I see the sin of thanksgiving. I feel like I have to leave you with a warning today. Thankfulness is more than just coming to church and raising your hand and shouting. Amen. Amen. Thankfulness is something that you do every day. Amen. Thankfulness really is a part of who you are. Therefore, when we are not thankful, that means that we are not who God wants us to be. Let me say this. Being unthankful leads to wrong actions. Now, watch this with me. Help me with this logic right here. Thankfulness helps us to overcome sin. You say, well, how do you figure that, preacher? Well, it's hard to be guilty of sin, the sin of complaining, when you're thankful. It's hard to be guilty of the sin of idolatry when you're thankful for who God is. It's hard to be lifted up in pride when you're thankful for your blessings. It's hard to be guilty of ingratitude when you're thankful. Therefore, if thankfulness helps us overcome sin, then does it not stand to reason that unthankfulness leads to sin? Did you know that unthankfulness was one of the first acts of sin in the entire Bible? Watch this now. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. God had given them every tree to eat from except for one. You know the story. And had Adam and Eve been more grateful for what all God had given them, they would not have been so prone to want and lust after that thing they could not have. Instead of looking at all those trees and saying, man, hasn't God been good? Eve looked at that one tree and said, why hadn't God given me that? Amen. And unthankfulness, neighbor, led to the very first sin in the entire Bible. And it'll be one of the last sins in the Bible too. The Apostle Paul, writing to that young preacher boy Timothy, began to warn him about the things of the last days. And he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. He said, they'll be covetous. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers. They'll be disobedient to their parents. And he said, Timothy, watch it now. They'll be unthankful. Unthankfulness in your life leads to sin in your life. You know how Paul kept himself from sin? He said, I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Yes, amen. You see, someone once said, when you compare what you want with what you have, you'll be unhappy. Compare what you deserve with what you have, and you'll be happy. Amen. A thankful spirit's a triumphant spirit. Amen. Unthankfulness leads to wrong actions, but unthankfulness leads to a wrong attitude. Would it surprise you if I told you that your unthankfulness is harming you this morning? Amen. Often we look at what we want, what we have, and we decide that we've been treated unfairly. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. I'm talking about the way unthankfulness affects you. When you're not thankful, you can't even pray right. Amen. You can't even pray right when you're not thankful. Every prayer we pray should be seasoned with thankfulness. Amen. According to Philippians 4:6, our request should be made known with thanksgiving. And when we have a thankful heart and we pray with thanksgiving in our heart, then Philippians 4:7 says, and the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You are forfeiting peace and the blessings of God because you're not thankful. I'm talking about the wrong attitude. You see, the key to thankfulness is this. Being thankful in your prayers looks something like this. God, I'm grateful and thankful no matter what the outcome looks like. You know what we often are guilty of? We are often guilty of withholding our thanks until the outcome that we want is brought about. And when the outcome we want happens, oh, we're thankful then. Woo! I got what I wanted. But God deserves your thanks long before the outcome ever comes. And it may be that the outcome's not what you're looking for. And guess what? He still deserves your thanks. The little boy started to grasp the importance of this when he prayed over his meal one day. And before he prayed, he looked at his plate. And he saw some things on his plate that he did not want to see on his plate. And so he bowed his head in prayer and said, "Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it and I'll eat it anyways." Amen. We ought to be a thankful people this morning. Can I leave you with one last verse? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 18. "And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I hear people say from time to time, "I'd like to know what the will of God is for my life." Can I help you with a piece of that? According to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, God's will for your life is for you to be thankful. Just be thankful. And I wonder, while they come with a song of invitation, I tell you what, let's do. Maybe let's all stand. And I don't know, there may be somebody here that wants to come, and you want to come and say, "God, I've not been as thankful as I should be. I've done a lot of asking and I've done a lot of moping and groaning, but God, I want to be more thankful. I want to be a more thankful Christian this morning." You want to come and say, "God, give me that shout." Or maybe you want to come and just say, "God, you've been good to me." Amen. And you just want to thank Him this morning. I don't know what you need, but if you want to come and pray, these altars are open.